from the Liberty University broadcast studio. It's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Hour two of the Todd Starnes radio program. Great to have you with us today. A lot going on this hour of the program. And I also want to give a special shout out to our brand new radio stations that are carrying this show, joining the Todd Starnes radio show family. Our good friends at Talk Radio 1000 WJNZ, the voice of Lower Alabama. Great to have all you folks from Mobile to Gulf Shores to Orange Beach hanging out with us. And we're honored to have you guys with us. And also our friends in Waterloo, Iowa, at that conservative blowtorch of a radio station, KXEL. So here's how this works, guys. Whenever we have a new radio affiliate, if you are listening to that radio station and you call into the program, we're going to give you a terrific prize package out of our palatial prize closet. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. And, you know, we've got a lot of crazy news to share with you. But before we do that, we have a regular guest on this program. He's actually the official chaplain of the Todd Starnes radio show. You know who I'm talking about, Avery the call screener.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Dr. Robert Jeffers.
Oh, yeah.
A fellow Baptist, by the way.
Yes.
And I've known Dr. Jeffers for, I don't know, 20 years, maybe. It's a long time. But Avery and Caleb, I never knew this about Dr. Jeffers, one of the top pastors in America. He had a hidden talent that he had never really shared with the national public before. I
Oh yeah, it's a great talent. It's a great talent.
It's a unique talent.
I love it.
I'm wondering, you know what, we're going to play it now. Dr. Robert Jeffers, you know, have you been under a lot of stress? That's what I'm trying to get at. We're going to have a psychologist coming on in a little bit. But have you guys, I think a lot of people are under a little stress right now.
Just a little. I think just a little.
I don't know about you guys, but I've been taking extra long naps, like to the tune of, you know, 10 hours.
It's called sleeping, Todd.
But you wake up, it's even though you don't think you're under stress, I think the anxiety is sort of seeping in. And so you need something to kind of, you know, relieve the stress. And that's why I want to play. Oh, my goodness. We're going to get Dr. Jeffers on the show to explain what we're about to do here tomorrow. But this is, ladies and gentlemen, the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, Dr. Robert Jeffers.
Hi, I'm Robert Jeffers, pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, Fox News contributor, and part-time accordion player for almost 60 years. You know, there's nothing that creates more joy and chases the coronavirus away like accordion music. In fact, accordion music chases everything and everybody away, but we won't get into
that.
He's
right about that.
I thought today would do something to lift our spirits. You know, the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice.
We're about to rejoice.
Joyce can cut through the fear we have right now. So I'm going to ask you to join me in a chorus. Many of you learned it as a child. Mm-hmm. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Ready?
Okay, why is the team not singing?
I can't.
I think we broke Avery. That's why.
Oh,
that's awesome.
I love it too. Awesome.
So here's what I want you to do. Just Caleb, randomly during the show for the next year, I want us to isolate just the singing, Dr. Jeffers singing, and that was actually Dr. Jeffers playing the accordion. This is awesome. Joy, joy, joy. Sing along, guys. All you folks in Alabama, you know it. You sang it in Sunday school.
I I debated whether or not to fade it out, but I think it cutting out is actually better.
It's just, I mean, the one thing I've the video is up on our up on the lap blog. I posted it under the Todd's stack of stuff, but it's I love the video because he's just absolutely going
he's
for
dancing.
It. He's dancing.
And that's a thing for a Baptist. I mean, Baptists, we don't dance. No, not because it's a sin, but we don't have rhythm.
We don't have rhythm at all.
But he's got rhythm.
He does, and it's great.
Very impressed.
It's
so we
also
have the video.
Yeah, you can't see obviously on the radio. What you can't see is how big this accordion is. It's the size of his torso. It's a massive accordion.
It is big.
Super
it's
size.
Very big.
It's super size. It's big. It's a big accordion. Folks, seriously, what a blessing. And so you can kick back, have some fun, and smile. You see, what were we all doing? We were smiling, we were laughing, and we were having a good time. And so we're going to get Dr. Jeffers on. You know what we ought to do, guys? We need to make sure that Dr. Jeffers plays his accordion live on the radio.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's yes.
It. Oh, this is like America's Got Talent stuff right here. So, in the spirit of that, we, you know what? We will save this later in the show. A couple of ladies from Memphis, Tennessee rewrote the words to Dancing Queen. And I know that Caleb, you were a big ABBA fan. There's no need to deny it. It's okay. We don't judge. But they rewrote the lyrics to Dancing Queen.
Listen, I'm a cultured guy, Todd.
And we'll play that a little bit later. It's pretty epic, but not nearly as epic as Dr. Robert Jeffers playing the accordion. What a great thing. Hey, look, we got to take a break. Our good friend, Dr. Mark Siegel, is coming up. He's going to be talking about the latest with the coronavirus. I know a lot of you folks have some questions. Maybe, you know, there are a lot of people out there talking about possible cures, the clinical trials. What are some things that you can be doing? If you have a question for Dr. Siegel, we want you to give us a call, 844-747-8868. Or you can just drop us a note on our Facebook page, 844-747-8868. Caleb, as we go to break, I just want to play that one more time. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Robert Jeffers.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. By the way, coming up, Dr. Ben Carson is going to be here. Also, Congressman Doug Collins. But I know a lot of you folks have a lot of questions about the coronavirus, and we're just excited to have from Fox News Channel one of the top doctors in America, Dr. Mark Siegel. Dr. Siegel, what an honor to have you with us today. And wow, it's like you've been on the channel 24/7 these days.
Well, I think it's a time of national emergency, and it's a time of trying to figure out what to do, and people are not really sure how to take this situation and how to respond best to it. It's a public health emergency, and it's not clear how to solve it. So that's what all the fear is coming from.
As a doctor, I know you treat a lot of folks here in the New York City area. There's been a lot of talk about the national lockdown. The vice president says, hey, look, if you're from New York, you're going someplace else, you know, sequester yourself for at least 14 days. Is that a good idea? Is that the right course of action?
Well, the only problem with that is that there's a couple of problems with that. One, the horse is already out of the barn. People have been traveling freely to and from New York. A lot of people have left New York. And two, it doesn't zero in on the major issue, which is who has this. And so even though they've increased testing to over 350,000 tests so far, I think we need a lot more. And one of the ways to get more is to have self-administered nasal swabs, which are now available, and people can test themselves at one of these centers, drive-through centers, instead of putting more healthcare workers at risk where they have to wear super equipment, health personal protective equipment that may not work or may not be, they may be out of it. So I like the idea of self-administering the test, and I like the idea that blood tests are finally going to become available where I can do a sweep of the population, Todd, and figure out who's actually got it. Well, if I knew who got it, I could put them in a separate area. I could say, you go stay in this hotel, a coronavirus hotel. We've got the universities, by the way, that we could use for that. So they're all closed. So there's places we could use to separate out people who have it. Not knowing who has it is still the major problem. And that's what leads to an idea of if you leave, you have to self-quarantine for 14 days. But listen, even with 30,000 cases here in New York, the vast majority of the public doesn't have it here still.
And beyond that, and this is not being well reported, is that people who do have it, there are a lot of people who are recovering from this, and maybe they don't have to go to the hospital or haven't gone to the hospital.
Well, and they shouldn't go to the hospital, and that's another headline here, which is, you know, the ERs are being flooded by people who shouldn't necessarily be there, and not just because you don't want to expose other people to COVID, but because you most likely don't have it, and then you're swamping the ER. I think the untold story here is about how ERs are overwhelmed now, and hospitals are overwhelmed, but not only by COVID, by everything, by fear, by panic, by illnesses, as you just pointed out, that don't necessarily need to go there.
It was shocking. You know, I live very close to, right around the corner, really, from the one of the hospitals in downtown Brooklyn. And Dr. Siegel, the other day, there was literally a line down the sidewalk of people. And they were, you know, many of them looked fairly healthy. I'm not quite sure why they were in line. And I was wondering how many sick people are not, you know, actually able to get into the hospital as a result of, you know, I hate to say use the word, but the hysteria of it all.
And that's I always call hysteria the second virus. And where is hysteria coming from? It's coming from the fact that this is unknown, that it's new, that it's invisible, that leaders are fighting over it, that we don't have a clear direction. We need courage and leadership, and the fear should be channeled into fear that applies to, you know, caring for your loved ones and maybe participating in the public health. Understand that the goal here is to decrease the amount of virus, and in doing so, we may be inadvertently spreading the message that everybody is at risk imminently. We're sending the idea that this is the only disease you need to worry about. Well, plenty of diseases out there that you have to be concerned about.
You know, Dr. Siegel, several of our listeners have sent in some questions. By the way, folks, 844-747-8868 is our number. Dr. Siegel, Trish writes in, as this virus appears to lead to pneumonia, can having had the pneumonia shot give one protection from the coronavirus?
No, it's a different idea. The coronavirus, COVID-19, can cause a pneumonia as it gets deeper into your lung passages, but that's a viral pneumonia. The pneumonia shot protects you against the bacterial pneumonia. The one we use now protects you against 13 prominent strains called Prevnar. Great shot. Everybody over the age of 60 should have it. And it lasts for about 5 years, but it has no protection against this.
Dr. Mark Siegel, ladies and gentlemen, one of the top doctors, one of the most well-respected doctors in America. Dr. Siegel, Donna writes in, what's the point of closing schools and restaurants if people are still going to those same places to pick up food items and bring them into their home that were prepared by other people?
I've been trying to figure that out, too. I keep scratching my head. I tell you a funny story. I went to get takeout from one of these places, one of my favorite places out here in the east end of Long Island. And the person said, okay, you've ordered. We're going to bring the food out to your car. And I'm thinking, that's pretty nice, but I don't know if I stood in the whole goal is to decrease congregations. In other words, the idea would be that in the restaurant, you're sitting there, other people are sitting near you. There's more opportunity to spread the virus. But with takeout, of course, you have to watch out for the person preparing the food and then packaging the food and then handing you the food. And those are all opportunities for viral spread.
They closed Junior's, Dr. Siegel, in my neighborhood, the Cheesecake Place. I'm very disappointed. It's
God, I don't know what you're going to eat. You may actually have to really hunker down and eat vegetables and lose weight. You know, I mean, just what I've been telling you to do for years, maybe forced on you now.
Geez, thanks a lot, Dr. Siegel. Here's another important question. Gloria writes in, my daughter just told us that she's pregnant. Any special instructions?
yes, I would tell pregnant women to be careful, because I think it's a, especially as you proceed onward in pregnancy towards the middle and end, it's a period of immunocompromise, mild immunocompromise. And we have seen some cases, we have a small study looking at pregnant women, and they get pretty sick from this virus. So far, there's no evidence that it affects the fetus, which is great, really great. But pregnant women should be more on the lookout, definitely. And they shouldn't put themselves in places where there is COVID-19 or where there's a higher likelihood of it. More pregnant women should be working from home and working remotely now. There's no question about it.
Mark writes in, and maybe this is probably the most important question. I think a lot of people have been wondering this. Why is this the first time we've shut down the country because of a pandemic?
Well, because in our lifetimes, other pandemics had tools we could use rather than this. The swine flu pandemic in 2009, which was pretty mild, ultimately, we were afraid of it at the beginning because it affected a lot of people. It turned out that it wasn't that severe. We had a vaccine. We made a vaccine in 6 months. We used an old flu vaccine and conjured up a new swine flu vaccine. We had antiviral treatments. Tamiflu worked against this. I remember giving an entire camp in Maine Tamiflu just because a couple of cases appeared. So we had methods. We had ways to fight other than this idea of sheltering in place. All we've got now is staying away from the virus. It's very primitive and very old-fashioned what we're doing here, and that scares people too. If we had a vaccine or an effective antiviral treatment, and by the way, I have nothing against what's going on with remdesivir or hydroxychloroquine. Those are very interesting treatments. And if you're stuck and you're not getting better, I do think that that experimental treatments make some sense, especially the malaria drugs being already approved, but it would be for off-label use. I'm not against that in the right cases.
When do you think we're going to get back to normal? You know, the president, he seems to think maybe Easter Sunday. What do you say?
I'd like to see rather than a pan-America response for a pandemic, if you will. We're responding pan-America pandemic. I'd like to see us look at this in a regional way. Like, how many cases are there really in Montana right now, in Idaho? You know, I know there's a lot in Seattle. Why don't we look at the areas which are really hot spots? Seattle, San Francisco, Los Angeles, New York, and really, really, really put our emphasis into preventing spread from those regions elsewhere. I think that would be our best approach. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have some kind of national across-the-board set of rules, but I mean, we really got to focus on New York City right now with 30,000 cases there.
Well said. All right, Dr. Siegel, we're going to have to leave it there. What an honor to have you on the show. Hope you're doing well and stay safe out there.
You're one of my favorite hosts, one of my favorite people. It's a great pleasure to be back on with you. Thank you.
Absolutely. Dr. Mark Siegel, ladies and gentlemen, great American patriot, and the man is out there on the front lines fighting this disease and really helping to calm people down, to give them the facts they need so that you don't have this mass hysteria. And we need more people like Dr. Mark Siegel out there on the national stage. So we'll get Dr. Siegel back. And I know a lot of you folks, terrific questions, by the way. I mean, just great questions. So we're gonna get him back. All right, folks, we've got to take a break. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Dr. Ben Carson is going to be here. Also, yesterday we told you about this distillery in Memphis, Tennessee, Old Dominic. One of the guys who owns Old Dominic is going to be here. They have stopped producing, or I don't know, they may still be producing their whiskey, but they're also making hand sanitizer that's going to be given out to homeless people and folks who may not be able to afford to buy that kind of stuff at the market. So anyway, we're very excited about that and looking forward to having that conversation. I wonder if they'll send us some samples, Caleb.
Yeah, I wouldn't turn them down.
I wouldn't turn that down. I would not. Old Dominic. So if you're in downtown Memphis, it's a great place to go and check out. All right. Wow. A lot of sirens outside the building here in downtown Brooklyn. I'm not sure what's going on. We're under sort of pseudo house arrest. But yesterday it was 52 degrees. The sun was shining. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to risk it. So I went downstairs. I told the doorman, his name is Eddie. I said, Eddie, I can't handle being in the apartment. I got to go outside. I've got to walk around. I may need bail money. So, but fortunately I was not arrested. So that was very nice.
Do you have the ankle bracelet?
No, not even the ankle bracelet.
Then you're good.
Yeah, you're fine.
Yeah, so I'm good. But you never know. They may try to stop you on the street. You just don't know. Someone just sent me a note. This is interesting. A lot of restaurants, you have to go and pick up your food, right? You can't do the dine-in anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a problem, though. Now, so if you go to pick up your food at some of these restaurants in Brooklyn, if you, as the customer, are not wearing a mask, if you're not wearing the gloves, they're not going to serve you.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
What?
So this is fascinating. This information just coming in. So people are getting nervous out there, and especially here in New York City, where folks are just a little, I guess this is ground zero is what they're saying.
Almost, yeah.
Well, it's certainly the epicenter, if nothing else, just in terms of number of cases.
Exactly. So, by the way, Los Angeles. Now, folks, I've been warning you for a long time now about the bigger danger not being the virus, but the bigger danger is being the attack on civil liberties in America. Now, yesterday in Los Angeles, there's a lot of news, and we have the story up at toddstarns.com, and you need to read this because this is going to happen in your neighborhood. It's already happening in places like New Jersey, happening in places like Virginia, where government leaders, and by and large, these are Democrats, but some Republicans are doing this too. But by and large, you have elected leaders that are coming in and threatening to shut down your businesses. Now, here's what's happening in Los Angeles. Yesterday, the county sheriff announced that they were going to shut down every gun store in the county, while at the same time releasing hundreds and hundreds of prisoners, nearly 2,000 prisoners. So they're releasing the prisoners and they're shutting down the gun stores. That is a big problem. Ladies and gentlemen, the sheriff says, well, you know what? These gun stores, they are non-essential businesses, got to be shut down. While all that was going on, you had the mayor of Los Angeles, a guy by the name of Eric Garcetti. Now, here's a little history. You guys remember the O.J. Simpson? Remember the white van driving down? Remember that story?
Yeah, the Bronco.
So his father was the district attorney. Gil Garcetti was his name. He was the DA. So if you've watched the miniseries, he's the guy that whose mayoral campaign was upended because of O.J. Simpson.
Really? Wow. I did watch that miniseries, or part of it at least.
It was a fascinating miniseries, but that's kind of the backstory here, the history of it all. So Mayor Eric Garcetti announced yesterday all non-essential businesses that refuse to shut down will face severe consequences. You say, well, what does that mean? So the mayor has deputized all of the city workers. So if your local garbage man, the librarian, they are now deputized so they can enforce these laws. And they're calling them business ambassadors. Now, I believe back in the 1930s in Germany, they called them brown shirts. But whatever. It's all about branding. So the business ambassadors are supposed to go around and patrol the neighborhoods, and they're supposed to find out who is obeying orders and who is not, and they have to report that back to the LAPD. Are you following what's happening here, folks? This is like right out of 1930s Germany. This is like Hitler's playbook. This is fascism right here on American soil. So now they're saying that if, let's just say you have a bookstore And you've got this bookstore. You're the only person that works at your bookstore. It's just you and the customers. What's going to happen is one of these ambassadors in the brown shirt and the jackboots are going to show up, and they're going to say, you have to shut down your business. And if you don't shut down your business, here's what's going to happen. We're going to shut off your power. We're going to shut off your lights. We're going to shut down your water. And then you will be reported to the Los Angeles Police Department. That's what the mayor said yesterday. He said, if you do not shut down, we will shut you down. That was a direct quote from the mayor of Los Angeles. And by the way, it doesn't stop there. If in fact you refuse to shut down, you could be slapped with misdemeanor charges. Now, consider what happened yesterday. We had a pastor on our show from the state of Illinois. They had a church service on Sunday. The local sheriff sent deputies down to count cars in the parking lot. And the following day, when teachers showed up at this Christian school, they required the teachers to turn over their IDs, and they also took photographs of the license plates of every Christian school teacher going onto that property. This is happening right now in America, ladies and gentlemen. This is what's happening in our country. And my question to you is this: exactly how much are you willing to sacrifice to feel safe? How long are you willing to stay inside your home? You know, the president says we hope to be done with this by April. That's longer than 14 days. But what happens if it goes beyond April? What happens if we're talking about this in May? Are you still willing to keep your business shut down? And the greater concern here, and my hat is off to the president, because these really are states. These are state issues. This is not a federal issue. We don't want the federal government coming in and dictating what the states can and cannot do. Now, you folks over in California, I hate to say it, but you made your bed. You elected these little fascists to office, and now you got to live with it. But it's imperative that everybody, because you folks in Ohio, you have a Republican governor. They're doing the same thing, shutting everything down. You've got a responsibility. Are you, exactly how long are you willing to sacrifice your constitutional rights? And what makes you think you're going to get them back again? That's what I'd like to know. 844-747-8868. It's a toll-free number. Does it concern you what's happening out in California right now? Do you think something like that could happen in your neighborhood? And if it did, what would you do? What do you do if you're a business owner? You're going to be shut down for, it looks like, at least 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks for some of us. By the time Easter Sunday is here, businesses, by and large, will have been shut down for at least a month. What are you going to do after Easter Sunday? 844-747-8868. Toll-free number, ladies and gentlemen. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Well, I feel pretty good. I just, you know, again, it's just, I think I'm sleeping. I just, you know, I've just been sort of restless. I don't know what. I just think a lot of people are under stress. They may not even know it, you know, just because of, you know, what's been happening in the country. But there's nothing wrong with talking about that on the radio. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Todd Starnes, and we're just kind of having a chat off air here. Avery, Caleb, you guys doing well? Are you a little apprehensive, or everything good?
I mean, it's certainly not the most calming time in the world, but I'm making it through. I'm totally all right right now.
Yeah, the only thing I really need is just like a sandwich right now, but I'm fine.
A sandwich? Really? A sandwich?
Yeah.
I could go for a sandwich also.
Oh, geez, Lou. I've lost control of the program. You know, our mayor, New York City Mayor comrade Bill de Blasio, that guy needs a Xanax. I mean, he's completely lost his mind. All that to say, you know, there is a psychological component to all of this. And I want to go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. What a treat to have Dr. Tim Clinton with us. He is president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. He is also executive director of Dobson's Family Talk, as in Dr. James Dobson. Dr. Clinton, great to have you with us today.
Hey, Todd. Thanks for having me, man.
So there is some sort of a psychological component here. What are you telling people, and what are you hearing from folks out there?
You know, it's surreal, really. Driving into work, you realize the traffic is cut down basically to nothing. Restaurants are empty, and people are walking around kind of in a daze. It's the sun's shining outside, and you're thinking, what in the world has happened? Are we living some wild movie? And then people, here's the tough part, Todd, is people are sitting on social media, they're up on watching TV, and they're overdosing on this stuff minute by minute, every number, everything coming out, what's going to be said next, what regulations coming down next, and what it's doing, it's kicking that brain into that hyper alert thing. The amygdala in the back of the brain is absolutely wired up, and things that used not to bother you, maybe ones or twos on the scale, are now threes and fours, and threes and fours are six and sevens, and people are just, they're just edgy. And you're right, we've got to calm ourselves down. My wife Julie said, Tim, I got to shut this TV off. This is making me crazy. And the challenge, Todd, is this. This is based in reality. Most of the times when I'm trying to deal with a person who's struggling with fear and anxiety, oftentimes it's self-induced stuff. It's out there somewhere, fabricated, or it seems like it's real, but it's not. This is real. And so how do we ratchet it down? How do we become sanitary? How are we safe, and how do we keep ourselves sane? That's the big challenge.
And, you know, the president was talking about this a few days ago in one of those briefings, that suicide, people are, you know, I mean, this, you know, that is a concern. Is that a real concern?
Oh, I think as the pressure continues to escalate, and I'm so thankful that the president, everybody's trying, the administration, everybody's trying to get this thing under control and look at every angle of this. But as the pressure mounts, desperate people do desperate things, or they get to a place where they begin to feel helpless and hopeless.
Depression.
We've got to short circuit it before we get there, Todd.
Yeah, I mean, depression, I have to imagine, is a big thing for a lot of people.
Depression's a big time thing. I mean, it starts out with discouragement. Next thing you know, you slide into depression, and then it moves into despair. And that's where the tipping point really comes into play. We're seeing it, and we're hearing it. I'm doing interviews like you are, and it's all over the place. Again, how do we calm ourselves? How do we ratchet down the stress and anxiety? Interesting piece that I'm hearing a lot on right now is, how do we talk to our kids, especially our younger ones who are picking up on this? If you think they're immune to it because you don't talk about it, are you kidding me? They're talking to each other constantly, and they're overdosing. They're getting overwhelmed a little bit by it. And so
what do you recommend? I mean, let's say you have kids, you got the TV on, and you know, all the chaos. What would you recommend that people do if they have kids, and how do you talk about this?
You know, Todd, I use the word trauma. Trauma is crisis, and trauma destroys your sense of safety. So we've got to bring back a sense of safety. How do we go about doing it? A couple of T's I usually work through: togetherness. It's a good time to hang out a little bit more together. Of course, when you're quarantined, you're having to. But being emotionally present is important in togetherness. I think the second thing you need to do really is focus on, like, even with the younger kids, learn the value, the therapeutic value of touch. Some kids are just prone to anxiety. Reaching over, it's like a coach walking out on the mound, Todd. Kids in trouble, can't throw a strike. Put your hand on him for a second and calm him down. Do you see the value here?
It makes sense.
We could spend a lot of time on these things, but another thing, learn to talk. But talk in ways that are anchored in truth. Be a stabilizing voice. Remember, you, your presence and what you're going through, it's a process of osmosis, gets consumed by them. They see it. I mean, we have a little granddaughter, a new little granddaughter. She even picks up on when the room is agitated or is not okay. Kids absorb us. As you think through truth, I mean, just age appropriate communication in the way it should be. Hey, get to the positive side of this conversation and say about where we're going, what's going on, and we're going to be okay, and we're doing everything we can. Teach them simple rules like sanitary, safe, and more. And the same side of this is just remember that in time, this thing continues to evolve both ways, but in time, I think we're going to come out stronger.
We will. We've got about 30 seconds here. Dr. Clinton, where can people go? Do you guys have some resources here at Family Talk that might be helpful for moms and dads?
Sure. JamesDobson.org. Dr. JamesDobson.org. DrJamesDobson.org and AACC, AACC.net. We've got a special resource thing we're building out for this crisis right now. I think very helpful for individuals, families, and churches and more.
And 20 seconds. So my call screener, Avery, he's been wanting a sandwich. That's normal, right? That's where.
I just had one. It helped calm me down really good, Todd. but I've got a cup of coffee in my hand, so the caffeine's kicking in a different direction.
That's good. All right. Dr. Clinton, thank you. This is very helpful, and we'd love to get you back on the show next week. I know a lot of people have a lot of questions, and maybe we'll just invite people to send in some questions, and we can ask those and just try to get some folks some help.
Yeah, I'd love to join, and that'd be fun.
All right. Dr. Tim Clinton, ladies and gentlemen, from Family Talk, Dr. James Dobson's incredible ministry, and some great resources there. We will post a link to their website on toddstearns.com, and you'll be able to get all of that. I feel much better now that we know Avery's okay.
I feel better now that I know that a sandwich will actually help me.
Mm-hmm. Caleb, just reach over, put a hand on Caleb or Avery. Make sure.
What?
How you doing, Avery? You want another sandwich?
I would like one. Yeah.
All right, we're gonna get the man a sandwich. It's a time of crisis. All right. I'm not sure where we're going with all of this, folks. Look, Congressman Doug Collins is coming up. Also, Dr. Ben Carson, Secretary Carson, is going to be here. We've got a lot going on. Also, our Dancing Queen song. You got to stick around for that. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.